So as I begin to say a few words, I'm very aware that some of you have already started to meditate. And so I would like to somehow come into this meditation session with my voice in a way that is friendly and kind, in a way that maybe ideally would represent how you would come back to your breathing, come back to the present moment, when you notice that your mind wanders off in thought or you're distracted by something. That somehow the goodness that you have, your ability to be friendly and supportive, caring, and maybe also some degree of matter of fact, allows you to discover how to begin any moment of mindfulness in a way that has some generosity in it, or some kindness in it, or some... And if these kinds of positive words don't quite work, to begin again with mindfulness, no matter what the distractions are, to not really treat them as distractions, to not treat them as unfortunate difficulties or problems, to somehow not be bothered by the things that make meditation difficult, but see them as an opportunity, a time, a very important time, to learn a different way, to learn how not to get angry or discouraged, how to hold steady with a place of confidence, and to confidently begin again. And if language like friendliness and kindness is not the best for you, to begin again without any disappointment or criticism or anger, irritation, in a simple, matter-of-fact way, to open to the experience again, to the present, to turn towards the present moment in such a way that you actually enjoy turning towards the present moment. You enjoy the opportunity to find your way back to the breathing, or back to whatever is the predominant experience of the moment. Sometimes it's experiences of the body. Sometimes it's experiences of our emotions. Sometimes experiences of the mind and thinking. And as we begin to discover how to confidently bring a beneficial awareness, a welcoming awareness, to begin to find a way to begin again, you'll probably discover that you're less bothered by things. You'll probably discover you're more able to be present for things that are even difficult or challenging in some ways. So that the little slogan that you can use for practice that represents how you would include something with this kind or friendly begin again approach would be the phrase, this too. This too is included. And this too would represent your confidence, your willingness, maybe even a degree of ease and freedom that your mindfulness will have. And you'll begin to discover that you can be with your mindfulness, not entangled or caught by whatever is happening. You can be aware of it. And what I'm suggesting is not necessarily easy to do, but perhaps you could experiment. Try little different ways. And one of the ways is to very gently speak, you know, through your own thinking, give yourself instructions. Quietly instruct yourself. And hopefully over time, you'll discover the joy of beginning again. And you'll always be ready to begin again. And beginning again is kind of a reset. It's kind of you're given a generous opportunity to start over. And with time, as you begin to appreciate how thorough beginning again can function for mindfulness, you'll discover that you don't have to carry with you the past, carry with you what just happened. In a certain way, your mindfulness in beginning again has forgiven you. And you can just start fresh with this. So as we sit this sitting, perhaps it's a time you can experiment. Find your way. To a way to begin again that is valuable for you. And if you run the experiment and find a way that's satisfying to always begin again, this sitting will be well spent, even if nothing else happens. And as we come to the end of this sitting, if you've learned something about how to begin again, something about a nice way to meet the next moment, even when the unexpected or something new happens, maybe there's a nice way to show up for it and be aware of it. Perhaps you can bring that way of bringing mindfulness to the next moment, to the next thing, to how you respond to the bell ending this sitting. So, my friends, we'll have a little session for Q&A, and you're welcome to raise your hand and I'll call on you, or to leave a chat and I'll try to go back and forth perhaps. And there was a question in the chat from this morning, so I'll address it. I have learned to let go of perfectionism and berating myself when I get lost in sitting meditation, and to then experience a sense of confidence in the practice when I return to awareness. But I suffer terribly in walking meditation, with hopelessness and frustration every time I get lost, which seems to be all the time. Consequently, walking meditation feels like a form of torture. If you could share any suggestions during the Q&A, that would be great. Thank you. So certainly for some people, like as it was for me, walking meditation was an acquired taste. It took a while to learn how to do it and get into it, and I didn't actually appreciate it at first. But it was really well worth learning how to do it. And for the person who wrote this, you know, I don't have the full context, but a couple of things. One is that I believe that it's easier to think that the mind is wandering off. It's easier to think that the mind is wandering off more in walking meditation than sitting meditation, because we have more of a reference point of time. And so in sitting, sometimes we're not quite in touch with maybe with time in the normal way, and it can seem like there's gaps between thinking or slow. But in walking, with each step, it can somehow can seem like, you know, the same amount of thinking as sitting meditation as happens in walking, and it just seems like it's a lot, and it's easier to get discouraged. But here's a suggestion for this in response to this question, is maybe the person is trying to get walking to fit into the idea of what meditation is. If instead walk and bring mindfulness into the walking. And what I mean by that is maybe there's some walking meditation for now is not the thing to do. But if the person, if you like to walk just generally, just go for a walk. Go for a walk outside, go for a stroll, go someplace where you enjoy walking and just walk, and to walk the usual way that you enjoy. Don't try to do anything different. But once you get into the rhythm of enjoying the walking and just like you're out there walking, then try to bring up a little bit of attention, of mindfulness to what that's like. And don't try too much. Don't try to stop your thinking or do it, you know, to get into some kind of meditative state or anything, just continue doing exactly what you're doing, but start bringing mindfulness into that and discover what you're doing, see what it's like. See what it's like in the body, the mind, the emotions, without any idea that you have to stop thinking. And then as you keep walking, maybe you can slowly grow that mindfulness and develop it. And as you walk, you become more and more present with your experience. Without trying to get rid of anything or to stop thinking or let go of your thinking, you find yourself kind of growing in presence, growing in embodiment, growing in being really here. And you've come into a mindful state where you don't have to be so actively involved in letting go of thoughts. And maybe the thinking quiets down in this process, and that's nice, but it doesn't have to. All that has to happen, if anything, is the growing of mindfulness and awareness. And by the time you finish your stroll, you feel like you're much more here and connected. So turn it upside down a little bit in that kind of way. So then with the blue hand is Douglas. So if you can, please, by all means, so you can start speaking.
Hi, I am Doug from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And thanks so much for answering my question. So whenever I meditate, I get anxious. And the more I meditate, it seems like the more anxious I get, which leads to anxiety attacks. Mm-hmm. This can make retreats very difficult for me. Do you have any advice for working with this challenge?
So before I say something, what wisdom do you have about your anxiety? Do you have any what's been useful for you, and what have you learned is effective?
It seems unique, but taking a break and being kind with myself, taking a break from the retreat instead of forcing myself to meditate.
Great.
That's what comes to mind.
I like that. That's very nice. And when you take a break and come back to meditate, does the anxiety come back quickly or does it take a while? Is it immediate, like as soon as you sit down to meditate?
I think it's rather immediate.
So what you might do then is welcome that, sit down to meditate, and a certain kind of say, welcome the anxiety, but immediately stop meditating. As soon as you feel the anxiety, the first inkling you have, you're starting to get anxious, get up. And maybe go sit in an easy chair or go for a little walk and ask yourself, what just happened there? And see if you can, if you stop right away, and maybe all you do is open your eyes, you don't have to get up even, and what just happened here? And see, and each time it happens, pull yourself out until you're no longer anxious. And if it means you have to walk around the block, that's what it takes. So the exercise is, let yourself notice the first moment of anxiety and then do whatever you can to get out of it. And develop confidence that you have that ability. So that at a moment's notice, you have permission, you don't have to feel trapped in that, which can lead to panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And also, by stopping and taking and kind of breaking out of it and somehow getting it to abate, maybe also you can begin noticing what happens the moment before you get anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be a wonderful key if you can notice the moment before what has gone on in your mind or your heart before the anxiety.
Okay.
And that might be a key. And if you discover something interesting there, maybe that's something to explore further and understand. And so how does that answer work for you? Do you think that's something that you can work with and interesting?
Definitely, yeah. Thank you very much.
Great, Doug. Thank you. And let's So then, from the chat, I'm noticing that my stomach feels tight to the point of being locked and difficult to access somatically. Any advice for being with this in a wise way? Well, when I was a new meditator the first years, I had a lot of tension in my stomach. I kept it, I don't know if locked is the right word, but it was always pulled in tight. And what I did was once or twice during meditation, I would relax it, but I didn't make it a project. I would just relax it, and probably usually you immediately get tight again. But I just did it once or twice, and then I didn't bother with it anymore. I just let it be. I didn't make it a big thing. And back then, I knew so little, you know, so long ago, back in the, I don't know. And I didn't even know what the word somatic word meant back then, let alone all kinds of things that we know now. And you might just try not worrying about it. If it's really a challenge to have this locked stomach, then maybe it's good to maybe work with some kind of somatic therapist and explore what's going on. But I'm a great believer sometimes of if it's not, you know, these kinds of things don't have to get in the way of meditation, and you know, and just let yourself have a locked stomach and continue practicing. And chances are, if you do it that way, with time, the meditation will begin to work the attention, and slowly it'll begin to relax. And you don't have to make it a project. So I don't know if that speaks to you who asked the question, but that's what occurs to me. So, Lisa, from the Blue Hand world.
Hello, Gil, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for offering this lovely retreat. It's been interesting. So my question comes from the morning.
Oops, you froze.
During your Dharmet, outside of my meditation room, my 10-year-old was having kind of a breakdown. He had broken something and he was suffering. And I could hear his crying and the suffering as you were speaking of inclining the mind towards happiness. So I'm sitting with and listening to and bringing myself back, and then mentally noting all that is arising, the blaming, it must be my husband, the whole story came in, and just coming back. So I was aware of the suffering, and I was entangled in it as well.
Yeah.
So there was both. And then I was also aware that after the practice, the inclination of the mind towards happiness felt like bypassing.
Could be, yes, of course.
And I wanted to hear from you on it. It occurs to me that maybe many of us have a tendency towards bypassing negative emotions and going towards, let me just feel good.
Yeah.
Just want to feel good.
Sure, sure.
So can you speak to that, please?
Yeah. Well, first about your child, I think for any parent to be sitting and meditating with the door closed and hearing something like that in the other room, that would be, and trying to listen to some Dharma teacher say, feel good. You know, that's just a recipe for, you know, not feeling good. So that's, you know, it probably happened to me too. So hopefully it was with wisdom that you decided to stay there, not go to check on what happened, what's going on. You understood the scene, your husband, your kid, and you knew what you're better off not going. And so you stayed. But the fact that you were challenged by that, that actually, I'm a parent, it just means that you're a good parent. So it's to be expected. But the more important, the question you had, bypassing. Yeah. And some people prioritize negative feelings, and they bypass their happiness. They just want to think that's where it's at. They want to that's where it's important, and they somehow or other just always check that out. What to do about it? Well, the way you asked the question, if I understood you right, was you were wondering if you were bypassing. Is that right? You didn't know if you were.
Yes, I was. It felt like I was inclining the mind towards happiness in the face of suffering.
Yeah.
And what my tendency was to actually stop and just start mentally noting everything else that was there that was in the way of happiness.
I see.
So perhaps my mind is more inclined towards focusing on everything in the way of happiness.
So
and then it occurred to me later, it feels like sometimes this inclination towards joy and happiness, the Brahmavihara practices, they feel false.
Uh-huh.
When there is difficulty that I'm facing.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. I so much appreciate that you're able to explain yourself so well and your concern. So what wisdom do you have about this in yourself? Rather than asking...
I was afraid you were going to say that. Well, that's why I'm looking to you, Gil.
Okay. Yeah. So let me.
The practice for me is just to keep on opening and opening and opening to whatever arises. I'm habituated towards an aversive mindset.
I see.
So it takes a lot for me to turn towards joy.
Great. Okay. So let me ask you my question for you a little differently. What if there's no problem here? Then what? Then how do you answer your question?
Well, I kind of know that there's no problem because it will change.
Okay.
But there's fear that I will push away experience.
Yes.
I will push it away in the form of bypassing.
Yes. So what I hear from you, if it's accurate, is that, like just what you said now, you have a fear about something that you don't know is happening yet. It might happen. And you're wondering if you're bypassing. It's a little bit theoretical. I think that you have, the little contact we've had now, I get the feeling that you have a sense of the practice, you're a practitioner, you know enough about this Buddhism that we're doing to be able to say all these things you're talking about, that you're a good practitioner. You don't have to worry. It's not a crime to bypass. It's not like a spiritual crime, like you're a spiritual pariah because you do some bypassing. It's not the worst thing in the world, and that you're trying to avoid your suffering and trying to, it's not bad. Don't worry about it. Trust your mindfulness. That you, if it's the case that you're bypassing, sooner or later, your mindfulness will reveal that to you, because it doesn't work in the long term. And until you get the clear evidence that there's a problem here, don't guess if there's a problem. Does that make sense? Just kind of barrel ahead, do your practice, and it'll become evident. It's really evident someday. And I can say that with confidence because a parent with... How old is your kid?
He's almost 10.
Yeah. You're not going to be very successful at bypassing for very long with that age group. You may be...
He calls me out on it.
Yeah. So, maybe the time the kid goes off, leaves home, maybe then you'll have to worry more about it. But for the time being, you're not going to be very successful. So let's see what we have. It is time to stop. But let me take one from the chat. And I'm sorry for all of you who have how this works in the short amount of time we have. I've noticed vibrations in the body, sometimes intense, though also pleasant. Is this to be expected? Any explanation would be helpful. Thank you. There's a variety of reasons why strong vibrations can arise in the body as we meditate. One of the most common ones is that they're also pleasant. So generally, if the vibrations are pleasant, then chances are the person is getting concentrated, getting calm and settled. And a byproduct of concentration is something in Pali, the ancient language, is called piti, P-I-T-I, which in English is often translated as joy. There's a kind of thrill, and sometimes that thrill of vibrations, this vibrating pleasant sensations, can be pleasant and smooth, and sometimes it can be rather intense, and even to the point that it feels uncomfortable. But it's generally understood to be a form of a byproduct of concentration, manifestation of concentration, and it's a fine thing to experience. It's basically you can see your practice is going well, and if the vibrations feeling seems to be intense, then if you feel like you want to, try to spread the vibrations through the body, kind of open up and let them spread and fill your whole body, because when the vibrations get bottled up, then it can get a little bit wacky in there. But if the vibrations are spread evenly throughout the body or through a wide swath of the body, they tend to be a lot easier and can be actually quite supportive of the practice. So I think, again, my apologies for not getting to all of them, and I will try to do more of this tomorrow. And in the meantime, though some of you have the practice discussion to go to, and those of you who are not, I would encourage you like I did yesterday, to take 20, 25 minutes between now and the next time we meet here in the Zoom room to do some more meditation, whether it's walking meditation or sitting meditation. But take a kind of a clear, 20, 25 minutes somehow in the stretch to give yourself more time to settle in and continue the practice. So thank you very much.